for my life, man. That's the heaviest shit I ever smoked, man. I mean, I smoked a lot of shit before, man, but goddamn, man, that's heavy shit.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the True Cannacast. This is the part two featuring Lawrence, aka the Weed Wizard. On Instagram, he is WeedWizard80. And as you may have already listened to a previous episode, which gives you a good insight into his adventures, this one ties things up and brings you up to current status as to where he is on those adventures and where he's planning to go in the future. So I hope you'll all enjoy this episode as much as you did the last one. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to give a special shout out to our sponsors, Cream Genetics. On Instagram, they are cream_genetics. Check those guys out for bulk and budget feminized seeds, as well as the best variety and quality auto flowers on the market available today. I recently grew some out, and despite having a bunch of issues, got some amazing terp profiles from them. And I have some friends and people that I've been following on Instagram that have been getting incredible results with their genetics. Check out Twisted Flowers London, who's been doing some insane outdoor grows with the Cream genetics and always doing some amazing stuff with my genetics too. Another shout out goes, of course, to Nasha Genetics, who recently dropped their new Gushers line, which is a whole bunch of Gushers reversals hit to a bunch of elite cuts, as well as hit to itself to create some Gushers S1s. I have a few of those on the go at myself at the moment. I have the Miracle Gushers, which is the Mac 1 Capillators cut crossed to the Gushers. I also have the Gushers S1 on the go, the Gushlato 41, which is Gelato 41 crossed with Gushers. And I have a few others that I'm going through doing some selection for breeding projects out of private stock for Nasha Genetics. I'm running some Gelato Banana cross to Gushers. I'm running some Forbidden Fruit cross Gushers. And I'm also running a bunch of other little bits and pieces. So lots of exciting things coming from those guys. Some of the standout ones from the new Gushers line for me are the Getter Fix, which is named after the wizard from the Asterix comics. And that one is the Triangle Kush crossed to the Gushers. So that ends up making it 75% Triangle Kush and 25% Gelato 41, because the Gushers is a cross of Gelato 41 and Triangle Kush already. So that's a beautiful contrast to the Gushlato 41, which is the reverse. That one is 75% Gelato 41 and only 25% Triangle Kush. So whether you pick the Gushlato 41 or the Getter Fix, you can kind of decide whether you want it more Triangle Kush leaning or if you want it more Gelato 41 leaning. So check out that new line. I will post links and some information about all of the new drop. And also get ready for some very, very special collabs from myself and Nasha Genetics. We've been trading some cuts and some genetics, and we have some very exciting things in store for everyone. So make sure you're paying attention to that. And yeah, you'll see some beautiful things coming from the grow rooms of both myself and Nasha Genetics with one another's selections. So super excited about that and looking forward to dropping those to the public. Next up, I would like to give a big, massive shout out to Dr. Dabba. Dr. Dabba hooked me up recently with an Evo Boost, which is a dab rig electronic that has all the controls you need to do everything in silence and convenience without any of the hassles of a torch. Great for travel. Perfect for me doing the podcast. I end up using it all the time, to be honest, because more often than not, I can't be bothered to torch up a rig and do a dab. And the convenience of the dab is amazing. So I'm a big fan of it. Gotta give a big shout to them. If you haven't looked at their products, definitely check them out. They've also got the Dr. Dabba Switch, which is one of their newest releases, and that one you can change it from flower vaping to extract vaping. So yeah, that one's super versatile, and everything they've got is really well made and sturdy. And yeah, I'm a big fan of their stuff, so lots of love to Dr. Dabba. Check them out. They're available from a lot of different places, including Pure Sativa in the UK. So holler at them and you can pick up those devices and all of the components and everything you need that come with them. So really good product, and I really recommend it. Someone else I've got to give some love to is Sticker Express UK. This guy is an absolute champ. Leading up to Product Earth, I put this guy under so much pressure. I kept giving him last minute orders, extra things, changes, you name it. And he managed to pull it all off and get our stickers to us in time for everything to go smoothly. He's the best quality sticker printer in the UK. He's the most competitively priced, most efficient, and he's a fucking legend of a man. So lots of love to Sticker Express UK. Check those guys out. I'm always posting their details. I will do it again with this episode. So make sure you check out Sticker Express UK for the best price, best quality, and best service when it comes to sticker printing and other things like banners and a variety of things. If you need any kind of printing doing, it's worth hollering at him because he may be able to help you, and if he can't help you, he can often point you in the right direction. As always, make sure you check out Seeds Here Now, the real Seeds Here Now. Those guys are one of our US distributors and retailers, so you can get all of the Trucanna genetics as well as Nasha genetics from Seeds Here Now, and you will always get satisfaction guaranteed. Any problems with any of the seeds sold through Seeds Here Now are guaranteed, and you will get replacements if you're not happy with the results. That doesn't mean if the seeds don't germinate, it means if you grow them out and you're not happy with the end results, that you'll get a replacement. So that's how confident they are, not only the quality of their seeds, but the quality of the genetics that come from them, because they don't want you wasting months of your life to get poor results. Okay, just a quick heads up before we crack on with this episode. I just want to apologize for the noise that Coco makes throughout. She is really disruptive. Even now, you're probably hearing dogs barking in the background because I forgot to close the window and there's just dogs making loads of noise outside. But as much as everyone does love Coco, she was taking the absolute piss during this episode because we had another dog over. I think that just had her extra on alert, and she was just a real pain in the ass, to be perfectly blunt. But I love her, and that's just the way she is. So I've learned to accept her craziness as much as she's probably learned to accept mine. So just a heads up, you probably won't mind it as much as me, but I've had to listen to it multiple times and go through all of the editing and deal with it. So it's driven me fucking crazy. Hopefully you'll find it a little bit more amusing and lighthearted, because it's not something you're dealing with 24/7. Anyway, guys, listen to this episode. Tell me what you think. And I hope to have another one done very soon too. Lots of love to everyone. Hope you're having a great summer. Came out to Spain, were you aware of the growing culture out here? Was that part of the goal to be out here and grow in? And what were your thoughts when you actually come here and started that adventure?
5 years before I actually came to Spain, I'd done my first Spanibus, and it blew me away. I was just blown away by how open the cannabis scene was. And there wasn't any smoking clubs back then. They were just all, it was just spanabis and weed on the street and things I could buy on the street. And it was, when is it? January? Is it February? It was early on in the year.
March.
It was fucking freezing in England. Yeah. And I remember coming out and going, wow, look at this weather.
Spanabis is always beautiful. It's like it just goes crazy March for everyone that comes to Spanabis.
Imagine growing weed in these environments outdoors. And I've done a bit of outdoors previously in my house in Wales. I used to just leave lowriders. You remember the first auto flowers? I used to leave them in 10-litre pots and just be astounded by how well they do, you know? Then I got like a little greenhouse. All my plants outgrew the greenhouse. I had to take the greenhouse down so the plants could grow. And I'm like, these plants are growing better than like what I can do indoors, you know? The weed was a bit fluffy and all the rest of it, but that sort of gave me the passion for the outdoor stuff. But it wasn't commercial. I couldn't do it. So I'm still on the indoors. I'm still making money on the indoors. But it was getting really hard to do because everybody was doing. Everyone was going out, renting a house, filling it full of weed and making money. Coming on top because they're doing it wrong. Too big of ventilation systems, neighbours complaining, door goes through. Now this weed scene is like, it's even getting mainstream. Like it was on Coronation Street one year. You know, it was like, now I'm thinking everyone fucking knows about this now.
Newspapers were literally giving out all the signs telling if you see these red flags, if the windows are closed all the time, if there's
condensation,
this happening, if there's that happening.
Yeah, if you're crazy. Not seeing it, if the waters, yeah, all that stuff. And it was really disheartening me because it was making me feel like a criminal. Where I've just come from this secret society where we're all good people of builders, bricklayers, electricians, intelligent people. And now it's like, everybody's doing this. Tents are now available, so you've got people that have not got a single clue about electrics, ventilation systems, building stuff, being good with your hands.
Also, people are coming in onto the scene and just giving us a bad name by just fucking houses up, ruining things. So it was like there was a negative perception for people like us that left places looking like a palace when you ducked out because you didn't want no heat.
A million, couldn't agree more. And also, it was getting really hard to actually rent a place. Because the landlords were a lot more clued up.
100%.
And all the decent houses were usually taken, which also changed my game quite a lot. I'd build a room knowing that I could take it down in a few hours. Do you know, so a lot changed in my scene. I was, you know, my way of thinking of growing this plant was more about security aspects. So I went from growing like 10-15 litre pots and doing 9-16 per square metre to then just going big plants, big pots, because of the numbers game. You get arrested and you've got fucking 15
that's how
15
it got
plants,
that's how
or
it got.
If you've got 200 plants.
100%.
But I knew I could get the same yield off no matter what, so it just completely changed my game. Then I come to Spain, I'd done the Spanabis, there was a little firm of us that were going to get a villa here and start producing here, and the firm, there was arguments in the firm, so it didn't happen. Come back to England, and I've always had that dream of Spain. And then one day I just thought, you know what, we're having it. And then I went with one of my ex-girlfriends. One of my many ex-girlfriends. I'm a hard man to live with. So I've now I'm in England. Now I've come to Spain. And boy, was that a fucking learning curve from the culture to how open people were about growing cannabis, which scared me a lot. How everybody was just like openly smoking weed. I'm come from an environment where this is illegal and you don't tell anybody and nobody should know nothing.
We've got Coco doing their usual interruption of the podcast. Sorry about that. As usual, Coco likes an appearance, and that was her getting a plastic bottle and trying to chew the lid off. So for everyone who likes to say hi to Coco, she wanted to say hi back.
She's a lovely dog.
Yeah, the culture over here, bro, it really is different, eh? You know, in England, you smell a little bit of weed and people look at you like you're walking down the road with a dead baby in your arms that you just murdered.
Telling you, mate.
Honestly, they're disgusted, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you got people, making all kinds of noises. You're like, wait a minute, is this because I smell of weed? Like, oh my God, what kind of lunatic are you?
I have been to fucking Asda Superstar stinking of cannabis, and security have come and they're refusing to serve me because I smell of cannabis. That was one of my last memories of leaving the UK. I was like, I've had a fucking enough of this.
Just obscene.
And you can imagine my attitude. I'm like, fuck off, you know what I mean?
Mind your own business.
You're not going to serve me because of my smell. How do you know it's cannabis?
Wild,
that's how it got.
My BO is exotic.
It's expensive.
That's it.
So now I've come to an environment where I won't even tell people I smoke weed because I've got a crop on. Yeah. And people are just like, oh yeah, so open. Now I've rented a house now and it's strictly outdoor growing. Yeah, I had no electricity. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was really cheap. And I was like, let's get some crops outdoors. And then that's when my real learning curve started, as in like, right, I can't afford to buy nutrients. I can't afford to buy soil because the amount of numbers I want to do, the amount of plants I want to do, I have to make everything myself. How do I do this myself? And the wonderful world of fucking YouTube taught me everything I needed to know. I've probably done a 10-year university degree in like, couple of months through my passion and the wanting and needing to know this shit.
Such a cool resource. As much as people like, it is a distraction, it has got a load of shit on there, but if you utilize YouTube and don't abuse it, it's like all things in life, you can make so much progress by what you learn. It's incredible.
That's why I've started the YouTube channel, because I feel like I've got so much from YouTube, I've got to give it back out there for everybody else, you know. Who knows how many hours I've spent.
You know what it is? It plants seeds into people's minds about the possibilities of all different things, regardless of what situation they're in. So many people can take different things from it and implement it into their life and potentially improve their life. And that's why it's good to show these alternative things and different lifestyles.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
Inspirational. One of my first inspiring growers was Hog, I think his name is. Could be Hog or Krog. I think it's Hog. Based in, he might even be dead now because it was a while ago. The odd videos were old as well. He was based in Australia, yeah. And he was all about the free living.
Wicked.
You know, and that got me. That it really got me. I thought, this guy is, he's got it right. This weed sets you free. And, you know, it's about how to live free once you're doing it. Now I'm in Spain and now I'm really developing as me as a person. You know,
people say that growing cannabis is a gateway to growing other vegetables and plants.
Oh, for sure.
That's the real truth of cannabis being a gateway drug. Is this
more.
A gateway to farming vegetables and
living
fruits
healthy,
for yourself?
Yeah. Getting spiritual. It goes on and on.
Coco, what are you doing, you little monster? Stop. She's now fighting Casey.
So, now I'm in the middle of nowhere and now I'm not influenced by my outside environment. I haven't got to fit into a little box. I haven't got to drive a certain car. I haven't got to look a certain way because I'm so paranoid about the way people are judging me. I don't want to come on top. Now I'm living on a mountain and I'm free. And it just changed my life completely. I started really going what my passions are. I started riding my bicycle again. You know, I started being me, you know, which a lot of people can't be in the UK because people are too judgmental. Whereas here, no one gives a shit.
I'll give you a simple example. I bet now you went from walking along the street and not bother saying nothing to anyone because you're fed up of saying hello to people and them looking at you like you're a cunt, to when you see someone, you say bon dia, buenos dias, you say good morning, you say hello, you smile, you give them a nod. And in Spain, people smile back, they say hello, good morning, people are polite. I don't know about other people's experiences, but I'm from a place where if you walk down the street and you say good morning to someone, they literally look at you like you're a fucking lunatic.
What does he want?
Yeah, they literally are like bracing themselves for some kind of spiel, like, look, I've broken down and I need £2 for petrol because they're so used to dealing with all this crazy hood rat shit and everyone's so afraid and it's such a fast-paced lifestyle and you've been tricked into living in a way that's not conducive with healthy mental space. and a good lifestyle. And you come over to here and all of a sudden you're free to do things and be, discover who you are as a person, not who you are as a survival tactic, trying to get by in life.
Social chameleon.
Yeah, that's it. Just trying to exist and survive and get by. And you actually got a moment to think, who am I and what are the things that I like to do and what will make my life good?
I tell people this, and I know you've experienced it many a times. When I go to the supermarket...
Coco, come here, please.
When I go to the supermarket and you finish with your shopping and you say goodbye, everybody says goodbye back.
Yeah, all the people around you.
Everybody.
The bus. Bro. You get off the bus and say goodnight, goodbye. Everyone says goodbye.
The whole... It's fucking... Am I right?
You're right. It's hilarious. It's nice, isn't it? My local bus, I say goodbye to everyone when I get off. It's hilarious.
It's fucking lovely. That to me really, it made me feel nice. I thought, yeah, we're in a good place here. You know?
There's so much of that, bro. And even as a foreigner, it's like, you've got to remember, we don't belong here. We've come here and we've invaded these people's country with our lives, and not everyone's is welcoming, but the culture and the lifestyle in general and society is in general, and it is more friendlier and more relaxed over here.
They are so accepting. That's why you've got your Benidorms here, because you can come here, you can binge drink, you can roll around on the floor, and the Spanish don't mind. You couldn't do that anywhere else in Europe without getting a good kick in or getting locked up. The Spanish are just so... They're nice. They accept you in. They accept your ways. They're really nice. So that's what, like, progressed me to be, like, who I want to be then as a person, which was really empowering to be different to people, to have my 100%. Opinions, to be me, you know? And
to choose your own path and your own lifestyle.
Yeah.
Not fit into a box that's positioned for you.
And then that's when I started getting the real problems of growing. It was, like, outdoors and indoors. Two fucking different worlds, man. And I thought I knew it all. I thought, at the time, I probably had 25 years under my belt of growing experience. And I thought, yeah, I'll smash this out here. And then the problem started, and it was like, what the fuck's happening here? I remember my first problem was, my plants were just dying, bro. And I'm like, why is half my plant dying, and the other half's dying, and now it's all dead? And then I noticed that the bottom of the root base, it turns out there were mice, they're called almond rats. They were chewing the stem off, but like strand by strand, and they use it as bedding, you know, because it's really fibrous.
Yeah, of course.
And they live in the walls where, like, you've seen
even mice
walls.
Know the benefits of hemp.
Throw on it. Gives you a good night's sleep. So now I have to figure out what's doing this. How do I combat it? Blah blah blah. And it wasn't until I seen a mouse run off, I thought, nah, it can't be. And I've tried everything in the book, everything. Then I put some rat poison down, it changed everything. My plants started growing again.
That's mad.
It goes on and on. I could sit here for hours telling you about problems.
The funniest one I've ever seen is in Morocco. Back in the day, the idea of germinating a seed and putting it out was retarded to them. They just threw out the bales of material that had been beaten that was full of seeds. They'd have tons of it, and they'd just go out and throw it on the ground and then turn it over in the soil and let it grow.
I'm a believer in this technique.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, they started buying feminized seeds for €1 a pop. So they go out and plant these seeds. All of a sudden, there's nothing growing. So they can't figure it out. They're looking like they put down another batch of seeds. All of a sudden, geezer's filming it, and you see this fucking ant walking off with the seed. Ants took like 100,000 seeds. Ants had took fucking half of them that they'd put down.
Yeah.
And then they started to realize, oh, we need to germinate these seeds with covering, make mini greenhouses, get 100,000 seeds popped, and then plant out seedlings. And it added a bit of work, but it worked out beneficial. And it's
about,
like,
the environment. You've got to get around your environment. I said this today on my Instagram. I was like, every garden's different. Doesn't matter how close they are. Is it the top of the mountain, bottom of the mountain, south side, west side?
That's the best example you can give. That really does explain it best, because just literally the same, like 5 minutes from here, because of so many ups and downs and hills and that, another person can be a different elevation. They can have shade where I've got sun direct. It's like, it changes
garden,
so much.
Your garden is different halfway through. Yeah. So between the back wall, which is getting all the water from your rooftop, all your terraced area, and then that's all dropping off there. It's all saturating. Then you've got the front half, which has got a retaining wall. It's heating, and that moisture is evaporating. Yep. So half of it has got loads of worms in it. The other half has got loads of ants in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The ants are the worst out there. So them little
cunts. It's just about knowing the environment, seeing what's around, and really taking in all these things. That's why I tell people not to garden when they're drinking or stoned, because these things ain't going to pop up. It's going to be listening to music or, you know. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's a lot to it.
Oh,
100%. There's a lot to it. 100%. The indoors, you haven't got to go through any of that. You're God. You control everything. Yeah. It's fucking easy.
The thing is, it's like, I find it funny sometimes, like, not to be derogatory to people who grow with biobiz, because there's good biobiz bud out there, but you know when someone says like, I'm an organic grower, and it's like, I feel like you just need to say I'm a biobiz grower.
Your bottle feeder. I think it needs to be, see, the organic thing, it's too much of a big umbrella.
Yeah,
there's so many different, you know, you've got biodynamic organics, which is growing off the lunar schedule, which is, to me, that's the top of the food chain. If you're biodynamic, you're a fucking god.
Like, for me, organic growers are natural inputs. All natural inputs, not buying stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, it's like dragonfly earth medicine, because you're buying it, it's like, that's not what I mean. Those are dry amendments that they tell you about. And it's like, they tell you how to do it yourself. So if you're in a position to make it yourself, you can make it yourself. And it's like, in an ideal world, that is what you'd want to be doing. And if I was growing for my head stash, just a little one lighter, so I would be trying to produce every last little thing. And I love that idea. And it's like,
yeah. Again, it's for your environment. And you got to think about how people was doing this before there was shops and buying shit. It's about using your environment to grow what's best in that environment. For me, that's organic growing. If you're going out and buying stuff, doesn't matter what you're buying, it's, for me, it's not sustainable gardening. Do you know what I mean? And people have got this organic stamp now just to sell more products. You know, how many companies do you know that have gone from the salt industry and now have got this organic range, and it's not really organic, you know what I mean?
Now, that's the thing. To believe organics, you have to speak to someone, because at the end of the day, whether it be products, practices, anything, they have bastardized the term organic by manipulating and certifying and all of this weird stuff. When you really talk to people like yourself, and like, it was an eye-opener for me, and even Forbidden Flowers, BCN. He'll turn fucking anything. Like, he'll fucking see a leaf blowing down the street and be like, wicked, I can turn this into a ferment for like da da da. And it's like, he'll find something to do with everything and is passionate about doing that. And it's amazing to see.
I love his passion.
Yeah,
his passion,
it's amazing to see what's possible when you are determined to put the inputs from around you and to utilize what you've got and find what's around you. And
how does nature do it?
This is what makes things different. This is what would give us a situation where you'd be like, oh, I'm smoking Spanish sun-grown truth. Oh, I'm smoking Indian sun-grown truth. It's like, you can imagine that Himalayan grown, Spanish sun-grown, this, what's it called? The terroir, you know, like the soil microbiome, all of that exists. It has a massive effect on everything that grows there. So there will be nuances and different flavors that spike in different places. All different things are different. And that's why organic is so amazing, because you can have things that I would imagine. And these are like, I theorize this, that I'm thinking like, if I'm in an area that has a certain plant that I'm able to make ferments or make a biochar, and then that particular plant I'm putting into my plant, it can have a particular effect on the final result of that. And that's where it brings such uniqueness and an ability to produce such unique, amazing, terpene-rich flavors that you just can't get from other things that are too mechanical.
I always make comparisons with the wine industry, because it's been around a lot longer. It's worth a lot more money. You're paying a lot more for a bottle of wine than you can for fucking a bag of weed. A lot, lot more.
And they face most of the problems we're going to and have done and are.
Yeah. They've been through it all. And they have a thing called appellation. So that means if you've got good weed, then it's stamped from the soil. And that weed can only be grown in that area. Yeah. So the truth can that your truth can only be grown in your garden.
To be that
because it's gonna be different from mine.
Top shelf certified one.
You need that appellation, and I think the cannabis industry needs it. Just because I grow truth, that doesn't mean it's anything like yours. Yeah. Because it's grown in and I can't have the same stamp. Oh, this is truth. There's more to it than that. Do you know what I mean? And for me, it's like we've still got quite a long way to go before we've got all the creases ironed out. But getting back to the organic industry, people just think organic is organics. There's not. There's so many levels of it and so many arguments in it. So just don't... I fully recommend going out and buying bottled nutrients because it's a healthier product, but make that as a stepping stone for
that's
being
what
a
I was gonna say.
Self-sufficient
that's what
grower.
I was going to say to people. It's like, if you are going to go on your organic vibe, that's probably the best stages to go, is to go, okay, like for me even, it's like I'm struggling to get used to even watering soil indoors because I've grown cocoa for 22 years.
Completely different, bro.
I've done...
The water retention goes on and on.
Two soil grows in 22 years, and they were things that other people organised, and I weren't overly happy with the way it was. And it's like, I know I could have done a lot better if I was more on point, but my problem the whole time was that I treated the soil like cocoa.
Yeah.
So when it comes to watering regime, dry backs, all of this kind of stuff, it takes a whole different mentality and understanding of things to get it right.
You've got to talk about the soil. What type of soil are you using? You know, has it got sphagnum peat moss in it? What type of water retention has that got? Has it got cocoa based in it? You know, it's fucking like this Spanish outdoor soil that you buy here is so water retention. You water it and it just stays soggy for fucking days.
Yeah.
And that's because of how hot it is here. The soil needs to be
it
like
needs
that.
It. Exactly.
Otherwise, you're watering all
it
the time.
Yep.
So the customer wants soil that holds water. And cannabis farmers don't like that. Because the water, it's like, oh, it's still dead heavy. It's not drinking. It's not that. I'm like, mate, it's your fucking soil, you know? So again, you've got to make soil that's for your environment. How hot is your environment? How cold is your environment? How much does it rain? It's a lot to
We're going
to
cut this just here, guys, because as you can hear, the dogs are having a fucking wonderful conversation. So we're going to have a slight little pause and see if we can calm them down. Coco and Casey have got a boyfriend now that Lawrence is visiting with his dog.
He's a good looking fella,
so,
he is.
Yeah, he's out there flexing on the girls and now they're barking at him. So let me just go and calm down the little love triangle that we're dealing with. Okay, so we've calmed Coco down for the time being. Let's get back on with this. So as you were saying, some of the problems that you face and having to have soil suitable for your environment and different things like that, going from indoor to outdoor and growing, what kind of things did you have to deal with?
Well, for me, I've always been an indoor farmer. And indoor farming is all about controlling your environment. Knowing the environment, controlling it, knowing what the plant needs and giving it like that to the plant. And being outdoors is completely opposite. It's about reading your outdoor environment and adapting that the best way you can to your plant. And it took me a few seasons to get that right. Now, bear in mind, in Spain, you get one chance, you get one shot. You know, you've got one season and that's it. And you've got to learn as much as you can in that season. That's why I really like autoflowers, because it gives me an extra crop of learning. So I can have 10 crops in one season and learn 10 different other problems. Yeah. But because I came from the indoor environment, I was all about pots, buying soil, putting seeds in soil, making me amendments, putting them in there and going from there. Then I'd have the problems of the size of the pot, how hot the pot was getting. Then I put a pot inside another pot, which was a good little trick for a while because I couldn't afford lots of soil because I wasn't rich. When I come over here, I was quite poor. I was very poor. As lots of cannabis farmers do, we're either really rich or really poor, you know. Yeah. We have times when all farmers, not just cannabis farmers, all farmers, you know, sometimes crops don't go the way we planned. Sometimes we lose things. And you have your ups and downs. So I didn't have money to throw at my problems. I had to work them out myself. I had to work everything out myself. And that's how I ended up in the ground, wanting to use the soil that's around me, wanting to know about soil. Gave me the passion for soil, you know?
It does literally get to the point where, like, to deal with the heat, I need a 150-litre pot to stop the fucking roots from getting cooked.
So it's like, you know?
I've got to spend more on the fucking soil than what the plant's going to pull in the end.
For sure.
That's how it starts to get done. It's counterproductive. No, 100%, bro.
And then what do you do next year? Throw all that soil away and start again? It's like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this to progress to where I want to go. I need to understand everything. And that put me on a real learning curve. And there was one person that really helped me on this path, and his name is Celtic Microbes. The guy is just, he's got a different level of understanding of nature, and he's like my little security blanket. So if I've got he always encourages me to make the right decision, which 9 times out of 10, I usually have made the right decision. I just need somebody to
reassure you you've got... That's that extra confidence. Yep.
And I think without him, I'd have had more problems, more failures, because it's so easy to second guess yourself, especially if you're a cannabis user. It's like, you know, too many thoughts. The first thing I think about in the morning is growing. The last thing I think about at night is growing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can overthink stuff, you know. 100%. And then the outdoor, it was horrendous. Because it's the opposite to indoors, you know. You're not gonna see a thunderstorm in your grow room.
Yep. It's now not gonna have gale force winds randomly at different times.
I'm sitting in the house crying. I've just done 4 months' work, and now I'm like, oh my god, everything's gone to shit. 2 days later, the plants are bouncing back, even healthier. And I'm googling, why is this happening? Then I realised the energies of water and how raindrops are full of energy because of the way they vortex through the atmosphere. Then that puts me onto another path of wanting to understand the energies of water and the different types of water and what the powers of water is. So this outdoor fully living soil has just branched off into so many different paths of learning, from mycelium to water to rock and mineral contact to weather conditions, to terrain, to altitude, to swampy environments. It goes on and on and on. And it's just opened the floodgates of learning for me. It really has. So now I feel like I'm at the point in my life where, I know I'm jogging forward a bit here, but now I'm at the point in my life where I really want to test my learning skills, you know. I feel like I've learned a lot over the past 7 years, and I really feel like I am capable to take nature on and be a part of nature and embrace it and let that look after my plants instead of me doing the work. Now I just go to the right environment with the right conditions, plant the right varieties, and the right things happen.
Yeah. And also you learn about what are the right varieties, because
I'm still learning
all the lessons that you've learned being in situ in the place where you grew and in that environment. Now that you've learned those lessons over those years and gone from, I guess, finding what plot parts of the land have got the best soil when you've got a whole huge part of land, you've had to learn about where you can get water from because there's no natural, there's no like...
There's not enough rain.
Yeah, there's no pipelines and there's not enough rain.
Yeah.
But you're by a river, so incorporating that. But then to go out into nature, you're going to then try a bunch of different strains in different spots. No doubt you're trying, like, I wonder what it's like with trees as companion plants next to it. With this, is that, will that help? Will it be better in the shade? Do I want one out of the shade? And, like, you can kind of... experiment as you go on this adventure of planting gorilla style in the wild and learn exactly what works.
Yeah.
And then next year you'll be able to implement and go, okay, so I learned that planting by this one tree, that tree gives a good shade, but it lets the leaves fall at a time that the sun comes through that gives the plant a good amount of sun when it needs it. You know, there's so many little intricacies that if you're working with nature, there's so much that you're going to be able to figure out. You're going to think, you're going to know like, oh, maybe this particular tree, if I plant by this, because of the leaf that it drops,
the leaf
and it goes into the soil, this particular tree has exactly what the plants want, and I'm gonna stray towards, if not planting by those trees, getting some of the mulch and moving it to somewhere that then bonds another good place with something that you get from that tree.
You hit the nail on the head. You're not just taking the mulch, you're taking all the microbacteria, you're taking the mycelium, you're taking all that goodness, you know?
Because that's what you've done. You bought some up for me, for my garden, didn't you? That's what made me think that is like, by finding all these different things and what ones work. And yeah, the fact I've got some up here now and then I can get some of that.
There's not many people that are happy with a bag of soil as a gift.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to be able to do that.
But it's when you got the understanding, it all makes so much sense, and it's so simple. I just wish I'd have started this way. Instead, I've had to uneducate myself and go, right, forget all that I've learned from the indoor stuff, from the hydroponic shops, from catalogues and all that. Forget all that, Lawrence. You need to start afresh here.
For people that maybe have lost track, basically, what's now happened is that after having a large-scale operation and doing it without the store-bought inputs and learning that, now what Lawrence is doing is guerrilla growing and planting things in different areas and then seeing how those plants have like develop. And that's going to go on to him eventually doing breeding projects for genetics that thrive in those kind of conditions and working with nature. So it's a real interesting project. So tell us a little bit about that and when you started that and what really inspired that evolution to go and work with nature and adventure and take the risk of potentially losing a lot of the work because you are doing it in spots all over.
I'm taking for granted I'm gonna lose all the work, and that way I'm not coming out this disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not coming into this project thinking I'm gonna make money. I can even grow plants. I've got the backup of mushrooms if that works too. This is just for learning. This is a school lesson for me. But it comes back to the area. I'm in love with the area. In Spain, we live in a desert. It's not so many trees. There's not so many plants. Everything's so much the same all over. And in the Basque Country, which is on the Atlantic Ocean side, it's just full of life. It's got all my different tree varieties alike. It's got all the different nettle species alike. It's got everything. It really has. And I used to go on holiday there every year, and I used to fantasize and dream about coming to this place and not having to water plants, because most of my life is taken up by watering plants. So it was that fantasy that kicked it off. And then life put me in a position where I'm like, you know what, you can do this now. So I converted my van into a camper van, put the dog in it, got a load of seeds off you and got up there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's such an amazing adventure.
Yeah.
And that's what sparked the YouTube channel as well, right?
Yeah, because I wish I'd have documented my first journey in Spain, because a lot of people could have learned from it.
Definitely.
And it's that unbelievable, the process, and it's that long that, you know, it can be a bit unbelievable when I tell people about it. So yeah,
people just think you're exaggerating, I'm sure. See some of the videos and the photos. Sure. I'm one of the lucky people and one of the few that's it.
What can I say? This is what I've done, and explain it to somebody without sounding like I'm showing off.
Yeah. This is the thing. Yeah, what people don't realise is that the real cool shit, no one gets to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And then it's like this new adventure, because it's such a wild one. It's like, it's the perfect one to document, because it is just such an adventure.
Yep.
There's no real, like, legality wise, it's trivial.
It's nothing.
It's trivial.
Each plot's got no more than 20 plants in, and that's the big plot.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm
and it's nature.
Care.
It's in the wild.
I'm done hiding. And yeah. Who am I hiding from, you know? Fuck them.
It's such a cool thing to do. And seeing all the different places, you're finding like, you're finding water to do your Wim Hof and do like cold bath treatments.
It's a dream come true.
What a wonderful fucking thing. It's a dream come true. What's the YouTube channel called?
It's Weed Wizard 80, possibly. Yeah, Weed Wizard 80. Sorry. Weed Wizard 80, the Ginger Gorilla Gardener.
That's it.
Had to get the ginger in there. Yeah, you know, it means a lot to me.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's such a good channel. The editing's really slick. The footage is great. It's just coming together beautifully. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm a true believer in, like, you're only as strong as the support you've got.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm really lucky to have good support. I've got an amazing editor. I've been through a couple of different editors, and I find people that are like technically advanced tend to be not as stimulated by what I'm doing. Like, wow, I was in cold water today. You know, they just don't really give a shit about what I'm actually doing. They're not so enthusiastic. Whereas the editor I've got now is just so stoked with what I'm doing. He's like, oh, what have you got for me watching this?
It's fun for him. Yeah, that's it.
He loves it as much as me.
That's awesome.
I feel like he's living my dream with me.
Yeah.
And for me, that's coming across well on the videos.
100%.
Like he's doing a really good job
of
this. I was
like, man, I'm not sure about getting someone to edit it. I don't really think you need to. And after watching a couple, I'm like, no, fuck it. Keep the editing. This guy's super on point.
Yeah, that's even
because I'm like, man, do you really need one? Is it worth it? Maybe get a few under your belt and then worry about that. And I looked at it and I'm like, fuck me, that is awesome.
I couldn't have done that.
This is super enjoyable. It's like, I thoroughly enjoyed sitting down and watching each episode and seeing the way it's all pieced together and watching it unfold. So
he's telling a beautiful story as it unfolds. And
where are you at the moment for everyone listening? Like, what's the current status of the adventure? Have you got down? Have you planted?
What have I got down? I've got 6 gardens. My goal is 10 gardens. And again, this is a learning curve. So my goal was to find a plot, very secluded, plant cannabis, plant fruits, vegetables and mushrooms all in the same plot. And then I was like, this is foolish, it's going to attract all the wild boar, they're going to come in for the tomatoes,
for
all the goodness, and I'm going to lose all my medicine stuff. So I've stopped it now, and now my priority is 10 medicinal gardens, which is all these different varieties of cannabis, which I'm blessed that you've sorted me out so many good seeds. I'm just blown away with
a whole bunch of cream genetics, some autos, some true canna genetics. There's some forbidden flower, true canna collab ones there. A whole bunch of cool shit.
I like your stuff, and I'm not gonna lie, when your stuff was the first to come out, I was like, people aren't gonna believe this. Oh, look at him promoting his mate, look at him backing up his mate. It's like, nah, your genetics has worked for me in all my other gardens. They're always super strong, they're always resistant, they've got that unique flavours and smells. So I've got 7 years of experience with your genetics, and that's why I'm working with your genetics, as well as, you know, our personal relationship. But
I think it's because I breed for structure, and outdoor structure is so important.
I think there's just because, too many shit breeders out there, bro. Yeah. You know like
with the elements,
shite.
You know, when you're actually dealing with the elements, the structure
strong,
of the plant
bro,
is so important. So it makes a huge difference. And yeah, to see the first seed pop up was on the mind. That was nice. I was happy to see that.
No one's going
to
believe this, you know what I mean? Seeds have come through, but it's the truth.
I'm so curious because for me, it's like, it's awesome for me to now see, like, oh, I wonder what ones are really going to do well. I know, like, the true love, because it's a sativa and it's a sativa hybrid, but I know it's got super resistance to powdery mildew. It won't bud rot. It doesn't attract bugs. It doesn't attract a lot of butterflies, caterpillars, because it's not leafy. So it's like that one, I have a feeling will like be a standout one for sure. And then it's like, it's going to be interesting to see what ones do perform.
So I'll tell you what I'd like to perform. True love. Love performed and done the job, I wouldn't go.
No, I think it would, honestly. It'll just be like a lot. It'll be mid, like, you know, you might get other things that are done end of September.
Yeah, I know.
But the true love won't be done till early to mid October.
Yeah, I know. This is a big, big worry for me, this, because I know how bad the conditions are up there. Yeah. It's super humid, it rains every night, You know, it's sunny in the day, but
that's... A true love luckily takes a rainstorm like a champ.
I find that rain, that it's like going to the gym for a plant. It smashes them about. It breaks down all the cellular structure.
As long as the sun comes out the next day, it's when it's like...
It's when it's 3 weeks of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly the issue.
Or floods. Floods are really bad.
And that's why PM's super important, because when you do have 2-3 days of rain and overcast, if you're in deep into flower and you've got one of them leafy plants where there's little bits of moisture holding up, that's where you have those issues. Are you gonna be treating plants with things like labs? Will you go to your gardens with some labs and treat?
If I have to, I'm gonna do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
and that's why I want to document.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, for an area where you know it's humid,
I need lab, bro.
I'm wondering, like, a bit of labs up there.
I need lab. Lactic bacteria acid. What is it? What's it?
Lactobacillus?
Lactic bacterial. Fuck knows. I'm really bad at names and the Latin names and stuff.
I'm terrible with this shit as well, guys. I've got to be honest. I'm not.
It's fucking. Milk juice.
Yeah. I've explained it to people before, luckily, and...
It's just bacteria that polices all the other bacteria.
Yeah, that's it.
That's basically what it is.
It's the rice wash with milk.
I can tell you what it does in depth, but I can't tell you the fancy names of it.
Yeah, basically, it's about preventing powdery mildew primarily for myself.
It polices other bacteria, so it keeps all the other bacteria in check. So, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes, to be honest. But this is why I'm thinking this year is one big learning curve. And that's what's made me thought about maybe starting the breeding. And as you know, I'm not a breeder, and I've never been a breeder. And I've never really had the want or need to breed plants until now, because I truly think that I need a variety that's specific for that environment. And that environment is an environment I've never worked with before. It's very humid, it's very hot in the day, it rains a lot, but everything else seems to be loving it.
I think it's definitely got to be like the most incredible way to do something like that is by breeding for that environment and breeding the seeds in that environment. I just feel like maybe some people might think it's crazy, but I just feel that you can't breed for an environment in a lab. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't breed for a high humidity, this, that, the other. It's like, you need to do those seeds in the environment of which they're going to be grown to really get that, like, that connection to the area and truly for it to adapt and kind of become truly perfect for that environment. So that's one of the key things, is going to be seeing what really goes well. Have you thought about males? Have you planted some males in a different area? Maybe
I've got lots of regulars out.
Wicked, that's good.
And I've got lots of regulars out, and the regulars, do you know what, I'm going to be honest, I'm not that far ahead to think that far, to be honest. I've got to stay in my little zone, which is today's problems, and try not to get too carried along, which is so easy to do. Like, I first wanted to make extracts out of this. That was my goal. I thought, I'd go in the forest, make extracts, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm sort of thinking, like, first of all, I've got to fucking grow some plants.
Yeah.
And that's all down to genetics, we know that. Which has got me thinking onto the breeding path. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't know how it's going to go, mate. I've just got to get in them woods with me seeds and me spade and just do the best I can do. And that's why I'm documenting,
like,
everything.
I wondered, would it be an idea to, like, for instance, if I gave you 3 different cuts of the comeback kush to go and put those in their own individual plot?
Yeah, you got me excited now.
And then decide by, based on how they grow and who is the stud of the 3 and who thrives in that environment, cull the other 2 and use that one as the pollen donor to hit a couple branches of something else that's standing out.
That would be awesome. I got recommended off somebody else as well, but I don't really know what the skill set's like. The silver spray, you know, silver nitrate, is it called?
Yeah, to do a reversal.
Yeah, to do a reversal, but I was thinking, do I reverse off one plant, take the pollen off that, and then put that onto one of my favourite plants?
Do you know, this is how I would honestly do it. Yeah. As a breeder,
please,
I would go with the regular males.
Yes.
Get a generation or two in the area. So, you know, like this year you make something and you hit it. Then next year you have 3, 4, maybe 5 plants that you get seeds back from.
Yeah.
You grow those out. You choose the best ones from those. Hit them with a male from a selection that you'll do in the same little area. Yeah. Then from that line, you'd want to do a fem version because you would have created what you want in that area. And then by feminizing one of those,
I'm reproducing the
you'll
genetics.
You'll get a feminized version of what was suitable for that area.
Yeah, yeah. That makes complete sense.
And by doing the male thing, it will give you a more of an insight that not only has your females done well in it, but the male has, and you can look at the structure. You can see how resistant they are.
Right now, I just need successful plants. Yeah. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, which is so easy to do. Yeah. I just need to address today's problems today.
I think, like, for me, like, protection of from animals is going to be the main thing, eh? Like,
I'm getting around that, though, through human hair. That'll scare off the boars. The ants. The ants is a bit of an issue there. I'm seeing lots of different species of ants. But, again, that was a learning curve. It's only in the drier places. Yeah. Where the soil is moist and... The ants can't make the structures.
Yeah, they can't make it. No, can't it all make come, them. Yeah, so, that makes sense.
So the only ants you're going to get in them wetter conditions are ants that are like foraging ants.
Yeah, so just moving through, passing by.
So if you've got a big bag of soil that comes from, let's say, I get some soil from here, from your ants that are here, and I take them up there and I sprinkle that around my things... Ants are that territorial. They won't go anywhere near that.
Yeah, it freaks them out.
They know there's war on.
Wicked.
So that's the ant issue covered. The slugs and snails, I'm using copper wire to defend against them. But I'm seeing bugs up there that I've never seen in my life, bro.
They're so lush.
never.
So lush.
No, the snakes are scaring me a bit.
That's a mad one. Snakes. They got snakes up there. What kind? Some adder things?
Big ones. That's all I can say. Big, when you see a snake, you just see it getting away, don't you?
Yeah,
some of them are like half the size of my wrist and long as fuck.
Oh, fuck.
So, you know. So if there's snakes like that, you know there's loads of frogs. You know there's loads of fucking mice. You know there's loads of rodents and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, again, whole new environment, whole new learning, whole new mistakes. Until I do it, I'll never know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And that's, again, why I'm documenting it all, so it's on camera, the evidence is there, and people can learn from it. Yeah. I've learned so much from YouTube, I just feel like I really need to give something back, you know?
How's this ice bath thing evolved? Like, what's that? Because that's a part of your thing I'm seeing, a lot of the ice baths. With your adventures, because the thing is, I look at it, and you're out, you're trekking, you're doing loads of leg work.
I'm in pain, you're
grafting, you're doing all of these things, so... The ice baths and going in fucking lakes and doing these cold things, this is really beneficial by the looks of it.
For sure. There was a time in my life where, you know, I'd do a hard day's work and then I'd smoke a joint, I'd go to the pub, you know, I'd get high. And now it's like, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but now it's like I want to freeze myself to death. That's my reward now. And I come away from that feeling so much fresher, so much better and so much more clearer. And people think I'm fucking mad, but Wim Hof and the teachings of Wim Hof, they've recently had the celebrity Wim Hof, so people are getting onto this whole cold water therapy shit now. And for me, it works. It works a lot. It's changed my mindset so much.
I've always seen it done by MMA fighters in recovery, pre-fight camps, all of this. So I've always seen this. I'm like, it makes sense. And then I heard the science and then cryo chambers. So it all makes perfect sense. So it's like...
I only do shit because it makes me feel good, you know? That's why, you know, it's the challenge
of it. The thing
is,
do you know what I mean? If you were doing it because it was a fad, you'd soon fucking get bored of that fad, wouldn't you? Because you're getting into ice cold water.
I'm putting myself into very not good, you know? Every piece of my body wants to get out of there. And now it's like every piece of my body wants to get in there.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Because you're just thinking about the feeling after and the way...
The benefits.
The revitalization and the refreshness, I guess.
And when I'm doing that in nature, in cold rivers and cold streams, I know the benefits of the nutrients that are going in me. and the bacteria, because I'm big of bacteria, the body is made up of more bacteria than it is human cells, you know, so you want to be adding more bacteria to that, yeah, you know?
100% overly sterile. That's things.
Another thing that's changed my living and my lifestyle so much is understanding bacteria and funguses and how they interact with the plants. That is, it's just opened a whole new door of healthy living to me. Whereas from my diet to the way I live, to the way I clean myself, it's just changed everything. It's gave me such an understanding of the human body. Because let's face it, plants, soil, you know, starts with the soil, we grow plants in it, then we eat the plants. So really, we're just eating secondhand soil, you know? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It feels like this one big picture is all coming together and it's all starting to make sense to me now, you know?
That's one of the things I was going to say, actually. It's funny you say about the fungus is one, you've done the grow in one place, you've done the mushrooms in one place, you're doing the growing out in the wild with cannabis. Are you also going to do the mushroom growing out in the wild in the same area and try and learn how that is up there as well? What's the plans with regards to that?
Well, the mushrooms, I'm really lucky with, because the environment up there is so perfect for mushrooms, and they have got mushrooms all year round. And I know the conditions for mushrooms. The place is 25 degrees all the time. It's wet all the time. It's humid all the time. So if I go to an environment and it's like, this ain't too good for weed, I guarantee you it's amazing for mushrooms. Yeah. So it's my backup plan. It's like, oh, well, let's stick down lots of liquid culture here and see what happens off that one. So the day isn't lost, you know. I can drive for 2 hours sometimes, walk for 4 hours, and then go, oh, no, this is no good.
Liquid culture, man. When you think about the potential, literally, like, if you could have fucking 10 litres of liquid culture sat there and then just go out and just be fucking, I'd be like fucking, yeah. Like a gunslinger with just water pistols.
That's a good idea.
Just shooting it everywhere.
I never thought of a water pistol because I really don't like travelling with these syringes, bro. Yeah. I never thought of a water pistol. That's a fucking good
culture,
idea.
For just squirting that everywhere.
Make a good video
just
too.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Yeah. The place is known for mushrooms. It's unbelievable environment.
Mushroom slinger. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Never mind a gunslinger. Mushroom slinger.
Again, that's another learning curve about what variety works. I took 2 litres of liquid culture up there, which to any mycologist is a lot.
Yeah.
You know yourself, 10.
You don't need
a lot
to get going, that's it.
I've run out of it in the first week.
Yeah, because you're covering spots, so much ground.
I was just like, wow, look at this spot, look at this spot. It's another reason why I've come back to Catalonia is to restock on all my dry amendments, my mushroom cultures, and just really... Go all out on this mushroom thing, because there's that many different varieties of mushrooms that work so well in different environments. It's another learning curve. And forbidden fungus, BCN, he's been a godsend because he's got such a library of mushroom cultures. He's just like, I go there, give me 20 different cultures, and I'm like, try this one, try that one. So
probably so excited to find out what ones work, and
he's loves
finding
it
out as well.
He's,
do you know what I mean? So for him, he's curious. It's all like the information. It's
we have
all
great
learning,
conversations, eh? And the passion we're sharing. It's like, and come on, me and him have got the same ethos of like, we're growing these mushrooms in sterile environments. Which I don't necessarily think is right, you know? If you give me the choice of, do you want a microdose with something that was grown in a lab with no other outside factors, it hasn't had to fight to live, you know? Or do you want a wild mushroom?
Yeah, everyone knows, like,
you know what I mean?
The greatest mushroom experiences
wild,
are
bro.
Picking wild ones and munching them there. The
Am
second
I
best is
there?
Someone else picking them and you munch them as soon as possible. Do you know what I mean?
So true.
So no, 100%. The wild ones are definitely the way. There's like more of an unpredictability. That's what I love about mushrooms is the unpredictability.
And
them being grown in nature.
Yeah,
feels like they might like
the mycelium web.
I'm a lunatic. I'm like, I start thinking things like, I think it'll like have like the spirit of the plants around it.
Like
all kind of weird shit.
It's got Mother Earth in it. I'm the same,
because
that gives you a better.
That is the whole point. That is the whole thing of mushrooms and the way it spreads underground and it's connected to everything, and plants all have energy and are alive. So if it then grows and then it's picked, it's like it has more to it than something that was grown on a, in a sterile thing in a lab, all of that. It's like,
it's not the same, is it?
Something that is a spiritual sacrament, an infusion, as they call it, like that does so much for the mind and the heart and the soul and the body. The more natural it is and the more it's connected to nature, the then I feel the better it's going to be, for sure.
And I also feel that with outdoor plants and indoor plants, I think outdoor plants give me a much better spiritual high.
100%, bro. 100%.
As an indoor plant just 100%. Smashes me, bro.
I feel so much better, and I don't know if it's a placebo effect, because there is just such a beauty of growing outside that I'm already in love with the plants to such a different degree. It's harnesses so much, goes through so much, gets battered by the wind, this, that, the other. Definitely. But then you smoke it, and the best of the best outdoors, there's something magical about it. The sun's rays cannot be replicated.
You can't compare to the sun. Compare to the sun.
No, that's it. No, there is something special. And people are snobbish about it, and it just makes you laugh. And it's like, you know, the people are snobbish about it. The ones who have never done it.
The ones who haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. You know,
the
mate?
People who have grown indoors, outdoors, all of that, you'll hear them go like, yeah, it might not look like the indoor, but if I'm smoking something, it's them outdoor terps.
Mate.
Or more commonly now, what I do here is the greenhouse supplemented, where they're able to use all of the sun.
That's the best way to grow.
They're able to plant in the ground, but then they have the protection of a greenhouse, and they're able to add little bits and protect from wind and all that. So realistically, high-end greenhouses with the supplemental bits and pieces, that is that would be the best day.
That's what's disconnected me a lot from the from the cannabis industry. Everybody wants to talk to me about strains. Have you grown Skittles? Have you grown cookies? Have you had this? Have you had that? And I'm like, have you had any outdoor? And they're like, no, I don't smoke that shit. I'm like, well, I'm talking to somebody that's not really got that much experience. I come here and you've got so many different types of cannabis here. What do? True love every time. Yeah. Every time, true love.
And people who don't know who you've given it to,
Same. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
And that's the blind
that's lovely.
Test,
and I'm like,
it, do you know
what I mean? That's outdoor weed, that ground, exactly. You know what I mean? Grown with love.
And people have a perception, because I've seen it where I've shown someone it and said, oh, it's some outdoor, like Filipino lamb race. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can kind of smell the lamb raciness to it. And then, like, it
smells earthy.
Yeah, and then you get another person say nothing. They're like, this smells amazing. What is it? I'm like, oh, it's last year's outdoors. And they're like, oh, really? And they're like, their face ain't quite sure how to like process that information, because it smells
what
amazing.
What does that really
amazing.
Say though, last year's outdoors? It's been cured for 10 months.
Yeah, but normally indoor, you don't want to cure it, do you? Nothing you cure indoor, but it's like
green, isn't it?
Well, it's like indica green. Things don't like the cure, but the outdoor hybridized stuff, more sativa leaning, it's like it gets better and better with a cure.
When I do
really
indoor
does.
Weed, I don't really cure it, because
no, just dry
it's,
it, trim it, dry it's ready
it,
to
it's
go.
It's old, it's gone, bumf. Outdoor weed is always cured because of how much of it I've had.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's time
why
to
I've
sell,
still
you know?
Got it a lot a year later.
Yeah.
I'm smoking it as my like favourite head stashy type thing.
The one, bro.
And then I'm smoking it out of a container, and it's not until I fucking realise, like, in my mind, I've got this container as like 50 grams, but it's closer to 500 grams of true love that I was smoking. So I like, fuck me, I ended up going through a bunch, trimming it all up, and I'm like, all right, I'll give a mate some.
Please don't sell it.
Do you know what?
Don't sell it.
Do you know what? I've actually given a mate some, and he's going to do some edibles with it, and I'm really curious when he makes the RSO, what kind of RSO that's going to be like, because the spectrum of it, of the true love, has got so much to it. It's definitely got some CBD in there, because it's got that balancedness.
It's got that beautiful balance.
It feels full spectrum, don't it? It
and
really has a full spectrum feel.
I find that there's no crash off it.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Once you like, am I ever going to have a sleep or another joint?
Yep, no, that's
or eat
it.
Loads of food.
That's why I like
you
it.
Know?
I'll smoke
there's
that
no crash,
and
bro,
start
just
my day. Because it doesn't slow my day down. No. It enhances my day, because now I actually feel good.
Yeah.
It's enhanced the mood. Yeah, yeah. There's that little euphoria, but there's also a little warm hug, and you feel a little bit cozy, but not lethargic.
Ticks all the boxes. I'd like extracts out of it, you know.
Bro, that's what I'm dabbing. Tonight, after this, you can have your first dab of the true love. Flower
can we
rosin,
end now, please?
You ain't had a dab, eh?
I haven't had a dab in months.
Because because I knew you hadn't been smoking until you came here, I thought I'd let you have a day of smoking before I even offer you a dab. And then yesterday, before I even thought to offer you one for bed, you went to bed. So I'm like, all right, today,
I'd like to say that as well. Like, I've give up smoking weed for this project. That's how committed I am to pulling this project off. I want to stop smoking weed. And then I've been here now for 2 days. I've had 2 joints, and like, I could just about drive yesterday, couldn't I? You know,
it's when you've had a tolerance break, it's serious,
mate. It was fucking hell. I could pull off mushrooms better, you know what I mean? I'm the control wise, and yeah, so today I haven't smoked any cannabis. And I'm really looking forward to a dab of true love now.
Go down a treat. On the new Dr. Dabber, my Dr. Dabber Evo Boost.
That is a beautiful, beautiful piece of machinery.
Slick,
ain't
it, right? I love it. I like it. It's so perfect. Travel ain't got a torch, nothing cup to do a dab while I'm doing a podcast.
I like it a lot.
Wicked little travel kit. I honestly thought that I would use it for the podcast, and then when I went out only, and now I'm just using it all the time. Because it's so convenient, so easy to just be able to just turn it on quickly, press it, and then within
it's clean
5 seconds,
as well, isn't it?
Wicked, so nice easy. Right?
I don't like glass because A, it's too fucking expensive, and I'm too scared of breaking it. Yeah. You know, with my lifestyle, with the dogs, with the, you know, I'm a bit clumsy guy anyway.
One of my oldest rig, I've noticed a crack in it at the joint, and I'm gutted about it. Now I'm gonna have to just put it away and never use it again, and hopefully see if I can get a glass blower to fix the crack.
Yeah,
if I'm like, man, it's gutted me. I'm like, I'm not touching no rigs now. I'm just sticking with
my
fucking
rigs. I've broke
my Evo Boost, and that's it. And that Coco's broken about 5 or 6, I think. Talk with the devil. We're just going to see what Auto's saying. He's having a little bark. We'll have a little pause. Hope you're enjoying this, which I think will probably be part 2 of the episode.
The neighbour's dog.
Ah, it's Casey's mum popping over to say hello to Auto.
Auto is such a beautiful, pretty dog. He's caused a bit of a stir in the community, I think.
There's nothing but girl dogs here, so he's caused quite the stir, this little stud coming to visit.
He sure has, hasn't he? And he's still got his balls, so I'm sure they can all smell him, you know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah. He's a man. Hello to everyone today. Okay, Coco, we don't need that. Come here. What's this? Sit down.
So yeah, getting back to my journey, I feel like I've skipped quite a lot here and got to the end of it. So. But yeah, it's just one big path of learning. And if I can pull this off this year, I'll be so proud.
No, it'd be amazing, bro. And being able to watch along, because like I say, when you've done the previous project where you river fed essentially plants, like that was amazing. Like
that was the hardest thing I've ever
done. Let's talk a little bit about that, because
that was the hardest thing I've done in my life, though.
Yeah. Growing on a scale in situ without inputs from store-bought nutrients and things like that, or
from
a water supply other than a river.
Do you know what? It was all complete fantasy shit. So I've come to an environment and I'm like, we can fill this up, we can do some serious work here, we can do this, we can do that. And as the plants are growing, at the start, it's quite easy. Little water requirements, little nutrient requirements. Plants are quite small. It's not until they start growing, it's like, shit, I need nearly 15,000 litres of water a day here, you know? And I've got no electricity. And now I need to know about generators. I need to know what pumps I can run off what generators. I've got to pump this up high altitude. So now I need to know about pressures and power plants. And I've
distance, they compress all the different equations that it takes to know what's the right pump for the distance and pressure.
There's just so much involved. I've gone from just smoking a joint and having a fantasy of filling everywhere up to actually pulling that off. And that was a really proud moment of my life. That was my retirement crop. and not through financial wise. It was my retirement crop of like, I've got nowhere else to go after this. I've done it all. I've ticked all the boxes. My biggest indoor was 72 lights. So, you know, I'm capable of big work. You know, I know what it takes to do it. And to do that outdoors was just like, fuck me, that was a learning curve. I'd never do it again, ever do it again.
Yeah, it's such a graft. Like, just even just the example of how you had to dig reservoirs that you lined and then fed those reservoirs with pumps from the river on generators.
Yeah.
So it's like just the difficulty and the ability to think of, okay, so this is what we're going to need to do. We're going to have to find plots here, here, and here that we can dig big, massive,
and they all have to be a fourth.
Thousands of litre reservoirs.
12,000 litres of reservoirs.
That are above where we're then watering down to on drippers because we're drip feeding, so you need the gravity of it. So it's like you've then got to pump the water up to a certain height to then be able to go down to another height and feed a whole bunch of different things in different spots. It's like, it's crazy logistically to put it all together.
The number one thing is security.
Yeah.
The number one thing. So it's like, right, we need big pumps and big generators because we want to run as little amount of time as possible. We need them filled up as quick as possible.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's going to last us 3 days. 8 hours a day, a pump running. Some cunt saying, what the fuck is that?
What's that noise over there, you know? So it was all about that. So the goal was to run the generators for 1 hour, and that 1 hour lasted us 3 days worth of water. So it was about what we could get away with.
Yeah.
And again, thankfully, I was really blessed with this one. I was working with some of the best growers in Europe.
Just grafters. They were just solid workers, eh? I remember you talking about some of the work ethic. And as far as work ethic, they were just untouchable.
I'd like to tell you about this one guy. And he used to grow in Turkey. Now, if you get caught growing in Turkey, you're going to fucking jail for a long time. A long, long time. That's how much he loved this plant, do you know? He was willing to give up his life just to grow this plant. He was 100% committed. So I could sit down and have deep conversations with this guy about what's best for the crop, you know, because we were both on the same level. Hours and hours and hours of conversation about what's the best thing. And then, you know, there's four farmers involved.
That's what I
said.
And
we've all got different opinions.
Having other people, when it's good people that have got the knowledge and you can bounce ideas, that's how you actually are capable of doing something like this. Yeah. And like, less like making your learning curve instead of it being a tenth of what it would have been on your own. Do you know what I mean? That ability to bounce ideas and stop things.
A few people like said I shouldn't have done this, but like I say, it was my retirement crop. So I put a picture on my Instagram of the plants in the background, and it was just one of the gardens. And I had so many messages saying it was photoshopped, you know, because it was that big.
That's so funny.
That's why I ended up putting the video on Instagram, just to be like, look, this was real.
Yeah,
you know,
this existed. It's just not mythology.
And it's every grower's fantasy, isn't it? Let's do something big in the middle of nowhere on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
And fantasies and realities are two fucking different things, bro.
That's it. You know? It's hard work and lots of fucking
pressure. When I pulled that one off, I was just like, that's it. I've had enough. Now I'm done. I'm done with me fucking with me ambitions, and then this next one's come along.
So it's such a beautiful, different one.
This
you know
one's
I mean?
All about health.
Yeah, that's you know? It. It's like adventure.
Health. It's, got it all,
it's
on it.
Sharing of information. It's documenting something like something
exciting,
wonderful and sharing. No, it is.
It's
super cool.
Shit,
I'm always like interested. Like, oh, I wonder what's been happening. What's he gonna
got
find?
Any mushrooms today?
Yeah,
no?
And just like even like I'm thinking like, oh, I hope he starts to just like. Going on more and like, oh, this is over here, and just I'm so curious about everything what you're seeing. Yeah. So it's like that's the beauty of it. There's so much going on there. I'm like, oh, this really is a wonderful learning experience.
It's beautiful. But the one thing that is really hurting me while I'm up there is not talking to people.
Oh, of course.
Because
you don't
want
to socialise.
Yeah, you can't do it. It's foolish.
Because otherwise people ask you what you're doing, they want to know your story.
Yeah.
And
then
just,
next thing you know, crop pops up and
exactly
it's bound to be pointed at me. So That's the part that's hurting me the most, because I am quite a sociable guy and I do like to talk to the community.
You've got
to
be super reclusive when you go into shops. You're just anti-social
in and
out
of the place. You can't. So I'd like to think that'll come with time, you know, of me I plan on living in this and that area. Yeah. That is my goal, is to live up there. Whether I do or whether I don't, time will tell, but I've got a deep love for this area of El Basque País. It's just super special. It's got more Michelin star restaurants than any other place. And I'm not saying that because I'm a fancy eater. I'm saying that because it goes to show the quality of the produce from that area.
Because that's how you get good food, is by good local produce.
Good ingredients, yeah, mate. And 100%. That's why they've got some of the best chefs in the world that work there. It's because how good the produce is, you know. You've got the Atlantic Ocean blowing in all the minerals off all that mist. You've got some of the oldest forests in Europe, which has got some of the most oldest mycelium networks. There's a lot to this. There really is.
Okay, I think we can wrap things up about there. It's been a fucking awesome sit down. We've done enough that I think this will be split into two episodes. So you're probably listening to the second episode now. So farewell from myself, True Cannibalist, Barry, and Lawrence, aka the Weed Wizard.
Thanks a lot for having me, Barry. It's been a pleasure to talk and share about my experiences, and hopefully people can learn from my experiences.
It's been awesome. I've learned a lot myself that I didn't know, so it's been super cool. I've really had fun.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. It's encouraged me to talk some more. But it's been emotional, and we'll definitely have to do this again. Definitely. Speak soon. Ciao, mate.
Right there. We'll put them on.